Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
Hello and welcome to Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Dusty.
And I'm Mike.
It looks like you have found episode 2.
All about the Vernal and Nevada Falls hikes in Yosemite National Park in California.
This was the second episode that we ever recorded for this podcast. And at the beginning of the process of figuring this out, we had to figure out sound quality. And sound quality is something that's very important to us. We want to make sure our voices come through loud and clear. We finally figured out the process of how to create
a mix
that like sounds really good and clear by episode 3.
Right.
But we wanted to preserve episode 2 as is. So when you listen to this episode, there are going to be a few times where things sound a little crunchy.
Right. Or we sound a little underwater, or like one of us might be on a phone.
Yes.
It's just
there is a whole section where like you on that microphone that you were on that day sounded like you suddenly were on a phone call.
Right.
When you weren't, actually.
No, I wasn't.
By episode 3, we really figured that out. So enjoy episode 2 of Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, all about Vernal and Nevada Falls in Yosemite National Park.
So, Michael, something special happened for you this week.
It did.
It said you saw... Well, you saw the first, like, third of Mamma Mia, the movie.
I think it was more than the first third. I feel like we entered into the half territory, but maybe I'd fallen asleep at that point.
I think, yeah, you had fallen. Right. No, we were still in the first third.
Okay. Well.
Act one.
It felt like it was the whole movie to me.
What do you remember?
A lot of very interesting... Armography by Meryl Streep.
A lot of great armography.
I don't know if it was great. I think it was interesting.
Okay.
And kind of scary.
I mean, yeah, I'm just curious about, like, there was so much armography. Like,
right.
Like, turn your arms this way and then do this and then put them over your head and then turn around and then, like, do some shaking things and then do some things with your fingers.
I felt like she was a bug that had been squished and was, like, writhing in agony. Before
really?
The death throes. Yeah, a lot of the times.
But she did it, like, with the class of, like, an Oscar award-winning actor.
Right. A million-time Oscar award winner.
A million times, absolutely. You had never seen Mamma Mia.
I hadn't, no.
No, I have seen Mamma Mia many times.
Yes.
On stage and the movie, and I just saw the sequel.
Right.
And let me tell you, the sequel is great.
Good.
Yeah,
it's good to
you
hear.
Have to see the sequel.
I think I need to finish the first one.
But you need
first.
To finish the first one and then see the sequel.
I didn't even get to see the men sing.
Let me
that's
tell
terrible.
You. Okay, the first one serves you like full ridiculous, right? But then the second one somehow like manages to like bring in like beautiful, poignant scenes. They're all in the flashback scenes.
The flashback
scenes are beautiful, poignant, well written. Then all of the scenes in the present serve you the full ridiculous that Mamma Mia like is known for.
Of course.
What shows are you watching right now, Michael?
Well, I am currently touring my way through Castle Rock.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. I'm also watching Sharp Objects, which is also, I'm curious to see where this is going.
Yes. Well, let me just tell you this, Amy Adams. Oh, my God. What a saint.
I know, right?
I'm waiting
what
for her sainthood.
What a gift to us.
What a gift to the world.
Right.
What was your introduction to Amy Adams?
Drop Dead Gorgeous. Which was her first film.
Well, it was her first. I remember seeing Drop Dead Gorgeous, and I felt like... Everybody but, like, Kirsten Dunst and Denise Richards and Brittany Murphy were... Everybody was unfamiliar, so I just thought everybody was funny. And I really noticed Amy Adams the first time in the movie Catch Me If You Can. She
you know, played, I always forget that she's in that.
She played the nurse.
The very young nurse.
The very young nurse in Louisiana, and he ends up getting married to her.
Right. And also Martin Sheen's daughter.
And Martin Sheen's daughter. I remember seeing that movie, and I saw her, and I said, who is that? I am obsessed with her. I need her to do things all the time.
Yeah.
And then there was like a long period of time where she didn't really have anything. She got Junebug, which was huge. And then after that, the next big thing after Junebug was really Enchanted.
Right.
And then things just exploded her. Thankfully.
Right.
Thankfully so. Things should explode for Amy Adams.
And I saw June. Now, Junebug, was she the pregnant?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And who else was in Junebug? I can't remember.
That is all I have for you at this time.
But she was not the main character. There was like a sister that had come home, I'm pretty sure. Or like a sibling that had come home. And it was her sister-in-law that was giving birth. I can't remember exactly. Are we doing some internet research right now?
Yes, we are.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so also featured in Junebug is the actress that played Miss Honey in Matilda.
Oh, is she the sister that comes home?
I think so. And
it's
then
very
also
wonky plot points her, for me.
Is it her husband or the guy that is like the father of her child?
I think it's her husband.
Is the kid from the OC.
The cute one?
Yeah, the cute one. Ben McKenzie.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's in Gotham. He plays Commissioner Gordon.
You know, I really want to see her. I really would love Amy Adams on stage. Like, I really would love for her to come to New York and do something.
Musical or play?
Either. She can do anything.
Can she sing?
Did you see Enchanted, girl?
No, I haven't.
She sang the Academy Award-nominated song at the Oscars in front of the Academy. Yes, Mama can sing.
Okay, well, things I didn't know.
Okay, well, things you need to inform yourself about more. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We are here today to talk about Vernal Falls and Nevada Falls in Yosemite National Park.
That's correct.
I'm looking for adventure, wanna follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun, there's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park. At the national park. Follow you, I'll follow you there.
So this was day two for us in Yosemite.
Mm-hmm.
We previously, the day before, we had hiked Yosemite Falls and wanted to die.
Right.
And thought we were never going to, like, recover.
Right.
But lo and behold, we went to bed. We got up the next morning. And
early again.
Early at 5 a.m. because that is the life that we lead.
But I also think that our level of exhaustion put us to bed early, so it was easy enough to get up early again.
Yeah.
So
we had finished Yosemite Falls and were at Chili's before 6 o'clock.
I think so, yeah.
And
because it was still early in the year, so it wasn't light, late out.
Yeah, and then we were probably asleep by 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. So we get up to do, so we were setting out to do Vernal Falls and Nevada Falls. So 5 a.m., we're back in the rental car.
Right.
And we are headed out of Fresno to go to Yosemite National Park.
Yep.
On our way, we make our morning stop at McDonald's.
Right, our pilgrimage journey to McDonald's.
Our pilgrimage journey. Why do we eat McDonald's?
Because it's the best way to get all of our calories to fuel up. Because otherwise, I mean, and despite the fact that we do this, we're in calorie deficit by the end of the day, typically.
Oh, fully calorie deficit. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Calorie Deficit.
Organically showed up.
She did, didn't she? Look
she
at
did.
Her.
McDonald's is our, you know, is our fuel of choice. And it's, for the most part, like, pretty decent. We tried Burger King this last trip.
Yeah, and Burger King was a no from me.
No, I think we were both not feeling it.
It was just not, it did not pack the punch.
Right.
Or the sort of, like, crisp.
I feel like also we got into such a groove with the McDonald's that, I mean, it's the only time I eat McDonald's is when we're hiking.
Seriously.
Right.
Seriously. Unless I drive through to get only bacon.
Right, right.
Which I do on this keto diet that we're both doing.
Right, right, right.
So we stop at the McDonald's. We get our food. We fuel up because we're going to be in calorie deficit later.
Right, right, right.
So we're just burning it off. And then during the day, we just eat trail mix and fruit
that right.
we pack in our bag.
Right.
We just snack on it all day and then we go somewhere to eat.
Right. I actually think when we were driving in, I was like a little annoyed with you because we left a little late and you were doing more car work again. And you were like, I just need to sit here for a half hour so I can use their Wi-Fi so I can send this off. And it's a good thing you did because then your computer crashed later that night.
I did.
It totally
did.
Like,
oh, you
bit
were
the dust.
Fully annoyed with
oh.
me.
But I like bottled it up inside.
Of
and,
course you did because
right,
you're a rising
of a Libra.
Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just like, everything I'm feeling is deeper than anyone
right.
else's
exactly.
feelings in the history of the feelings
right.
of the right. world.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
And I also just shake my head because it's like, get your damn work done before you go on a trip.
I know. I just had so much of it to do prior and I didn't get it done.
Right.
But I sent it off. Everything was fine.
Yep.
And then, later that evening, I opened it up and lo and behold, she was gone.
She was gone.
She had...
She was not long for this world.
She had taken her bags. She had jumped off of a cliff and I could not see her anymore.
No.
We make our way into Yosemite.
Yes. And this time we parked, I think, we didn't park... The first day we kind of parked in a lot, like a really big lot, that was maybe like a 10-minute walk to the village center.
Yeah.
And this time what we did is we parked at, I think, tram stop 1. There was some parking there. And I don't think, did we talk about trams in the last podcast?
No, we didn't talk about tramps either.
So Yosemite operates on a series of trams.
And there's a few national parks that
there's a few. Zion does as well. And the trams are really because the parks receive so many visitors and they can't really handle the volume of cars driving and then parking at specific locations. They've set up a tram system so you can park your car somewhere and then hop on a tram system, which will really kind of take you to any of the points of interest that you'd like to see. Yeah.
Exactly. And the trams run like in a circle the whole day.
Maybe every 15 minutes we're waiting for a tram, I think is about the time in
about
between.
That.
So it's not a terrible wait time. You can walk it. Like,
I think we ended up walking it later in that day.
We did. Yeah. I just put it up on our post when we walked from Vernal Falls to Mirror Lake.
That's right.
We didn't take the tram because it was a stop away. So, so there is the option to walk. There are trails that can kind of take you from place to place too that aren't necessarily named big league trails of the park.
Exactly.
Just kind of like the interstate of the park to get you where you need to go.
Exactly.
Right.
The very low key pressure, like no pressure, sort of just like connecting sidewalks essentially. Now, if I remember right, Vernal Falls is the one with the 600 steps.
Yes. At some point in the hike, there are 600 steps.
But that's not the entirety of the hike.
I think that is leading up to the top of Vernal Falls.
Yes. So you have to hike to the top of one waterfall.
Right.
And then after you're there, you can then hike to the top of another waterfall, which is higher up.
Yes.
And then there is a way to travel down another way back to where you started that isn't the path that you were on. I think it's the John Muir Trail.
Right.
But parts of the John Muir Trail were closed because of snow.
Right. I think you could actually get to 4 mile hike from the top.
You could. You could just stay at the top of...
and then hike down.
So we start on Vernal Falls, which, if I remember right, it was pretty... It was beautiful, but it was pretty steep at the very beginning.
But it was paved, too.
And it was paved. It was like, oh, God, what a, like... gift to our feet right, right now, because our feet were so used to like jagged, craggy rocks
from the day before.
From the day before. And so it was flat, flat. And I was like, this, this incline is nothing, like,
right,
because it is flat.
Right.
It was so wonderful.
Right. And you know, I think we were like one of like very few people that got off on that tram stop. And there were like, honestly, once we started hiking, I think, by the time we got to the top of Vernal Falls, I think we'd seen maybe three other people.
Yeah, there were only like three other people around.
So that was like a really great thing, which is, you know, part of our advocacy of hike early, hike often.
Hike early, hike often.
Because you get the best sort of views. You get to enjoy the like beautiful spaces without anybody.
And if you're a heat person and you don't deal well with the heat, then hiking early is really your
option. Or evening hiking. Depending on, you know, time of year. But
depending on time of year. We didn't really have a heat problem in Yosemite.
No, not really.
So we were, because it is hotter in the...
in the canyon than at the rim.
It is hotter in the canyon than at the rim. Right.
So you basically, after a little while, you come to a bridge when you're hiking, like right along the... the river.
I mean, it was...
and it's a pretty nice bridge. It was like
gorgeous,
a...
gorgeous bridge.
Wooden bridge.
Like, rushing water underneath it. And then I do remember there was a bathroom right on the other side of that bridge. And it was like, this bathroom is not in use right now. If you have human waste,
if you need to defecate.
If you need to defecate, you need to walk, like, 100 feet away. And like
dig a hole,
and bury it there,
like we did in olden times.
Yes,
before plumbing.
Yes,
digging holes and putting things in them.
Precisely.
Right, and it was at that point too that I think you could, if you wanted to, go
on
to the John Muir Trail.
Yes,
but
exactly.
Because it was not seasonal, there was a sign that also warned people of that to take the Mist Trail instead.
So we keep. So the Mist Trail is the part of that will lead you to the top of
Vernal Falls, right.
Right. And the reason it's called the Mist Trail is as soon as you start, like, shortly after that, we get to those stairs.
Right.
And I remember I had decided, it was like, I am going to count every one of these to see if it really is 600.
Right.
And I think I counted, like, 598. That is the Capricorn in me to be like, are they being accurate here about this number?
Right.
I'm going to see.
Right.
And so, but it is completely just, like, mist filled because the waterfall is directly to your left.
Yes. So, you know, there are these like very jagged, slippery steps that you're traversing up. And then you're kind
of
like
stone.
Right. It's all just natural. It's the natural cliff face. So you're hiking up it and you're kind of like at level with the waterfall. And then you get to an area where you kind of pass under like a stone arch and then you head up some more steps.
Yes.
And then eventually you are flush with the wall that the waterfall is
running
over.
And you have to travel, like underneath the waterfall.
You're not really underneath it.
Oh, no,
you're just like, you're to the side of it. And it's a pretty narrow passage, which we'll talk about later on the way back.
Oh, because on the way back, good Lord.
Johnny Good Times all the time.
Oh, that was not my favorite moment of a day, that day.
No.
So we make our way up to the top. And then there's like this giant landing of flat rock.
Right.
And some trees. And
there was only like the apex of the fall.
The apex of the fall.
Right.
And we met that other hiker.
Right.
Do you remember his name?
Nope. He was from New Zealand, maybe, or Australia.
He was from New Zealand.
Right.
He was visiting
Las
Vegas, and he had decided to come to Yosemite.
Mm.
I do remember that.
Okay.
He was also very cute.
Yes.
Oh, the cutest.
The cutest.
So we tried to talk to him for a little while.
Right.
And then we...
I think he was running up too, right? Because he passed us. He was behind us, and then and then he came up from behind,
and passed us. And I think when he passed us, I definitely sort of let my judgment take over to be like, oh well, this is the person that's like running up these 600 stairs.
Right. But he was on a time limit.
He was, and that was why he was running. He explained. So look at me being a judgy bitch when I shouldn't have been.
Right.
So we were reapplying sunscreen.
Right.
We had gotten the sunscreen.
Well, I think we were just applying at this point.
Oh,
it was about, you know, it was maybe 8:30-ish, but we didn't want to necessarily stop again to have to apply while we were hiking.
Right. So we're putting it on.
Right. So we're putting it on.
And our bags are just like sitting on the ground on the flat rock.
Right. And it's not right necessarily flat.
It was a slight It was inclined.
Pitch, yeah.
There was a pitch, but I'm saying like it wasn't jagged rock.
No.
And then there was smooth. a smooth rock.
Right.
There we go. All of your smooth rock and roll jazz beats. So there's a fence between us and the river right before the falls.
Right.
And we're standing there and we're reapplying sunscreen. And Michael takes the sunscreen.
This is lies.
He tosses it into...
First of all, it was my sunscreen. So I would take ownership of this if it was my fault. So no, Dusty had the sunscreen and was applying it and chucked it towards the bag. However, it missed the bag and started to slide on the pitched rock towards the river. We looked at it. It was all like basically everything became slow motion because we looked at it and thought, oh, that chain link will definitely catch that bottle of suntan lotion. Nope.
No, it did not.
Right under the chain link, into the river,
down Vernal Falls.
Yep. And it's never to be seen again. And it was all your fault.
All your fault.
Mm-hmm. So
I have no memory of that responsibility.
We left a gift, unfortunate gift, in the Yosemite National Park. And it's a bottle of Target 50 SPF sunscreen.
50 SPF sunscreen. And I think with that, let's take our first break.
Great.
Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners.
It's time for One Has to Go.
Our favorite hiking game.
Our favorite hiking game. Okay. Start us off, Mike.
So, Dusty, One Has to Go. Amy Adams, Meryl Streep, Jessica Lange.
Oh, you did not do this to me. This is the most unfair. Okay.
Sophie's choices.
It's exactly. You know what? This is what I'm going to say because I think I'm going to say Jessica Lange.
Okay.
Only because I think Jessica Lange has publicly stated many times that she is interested in retiring. She would like to just go peacefully live out the rest of her life. Though I think Ryan Murphy has other plans for her.
Right.
And wants her to continue working, though we would all love that.
Right.
Okay, here is my One Has to Go for you.
Okay.
Here you go.
Great.
One Has to Go.
Okay.
Clue. Drop Dead Gorgeous. Mannequin.
Oh.
Yes.
I think Mannequin. I love Mannequin.
You love Mannequin.
But there's something beautiful about Clue, and Drop Dead Gorgeous is, you know, holds a very special place in my heart. So, not that Mannequin doesn't. And that whole, like, that whole sequence in the beginning where the credits are just cartoon.
It's so good.
It just, like, gives me all the childhood feelings. But I think it has to be Mannequin. I'm sorry, Mannequin.
There you go.
Yep.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
And now back to our story.
And now back to our story.
So from here, we kept moving, and we're at the top of Vernal Falls.
Right.
So now we have to head to the top of Nevada Falls.
Yep.
I remember there was, just in this small little journey from Vernal Falls to Nevada Falls, there was lots of different landscape. Like, yeah. we made it over rocks.
And here it was...
forest.
Right. And here it was, like, relatively, when we say flat, it was pretty level. Like,
it was pretty level.
There wasn't a lot. Like, I think right after we left Vernal Falls, we did have some, like, stairy, like, things to climb, some things to go over
and
up.
Right before we, like, we were walking through that forest that looked like Endor.
Right.
And then, oh, bonus fact, did you know that they used part of Redwood National Forest as Endor?
Yeah, I think I did know that.
I did not know that. I found that out today.
And they used part of Death Valley for Tatooine.
Fascinating.
That's right. All of our Star Wars
all
facts.
All of our Star Wars facts.
I think
facts.
It was Tatooine or wherever Jabba the Hutt is.
We'll
I'm pretty sure.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So right beyond this forest of Endor that we were hiking, then you get to, it was like, it felt in this moment like craggy rock desert.
Right.
That we had to walk all the way up, and it was to the side of Nevada Falls.
Right.
We were essentially hiking to the top of this, and then you were home free. I complained a little bit on that, like to myself internally, because it was harder, because it was steeper and it was back to rocks and steep things.
Right, and it was switchbacky.
There were switchbacks.
They were like carved rock steps, I would say.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as bad as some of the cragginess we faced in our journey up Yosemite Falls, but you know, I think it was easier going up. I think part of the issue was the downward trek again later.
Yeah, that would be later. But when we got to the top, we noticed that this is what you would have to hike up if you wanted to get to Half Dome, which Half Dome was like you had to venture off to the left in order to get to the base of Half Dome.
Is that the only trail to get up there?
Well, no, I don't think it's the only trail, but like they give you options for like which way do you want to get to Half Dome.
Right.
You can go up the following things, but Half Dome is like way high up in the air, so you got to get there somehow. And Vernal and Nevada Falls, that trail is one of them.
Okay.
Because we ventured off to the left for a second to see what was down there, and it was just people who had been camping, and then everything else was closed, and there was like a ranger station down there, so we turned back.
Right. But that was on our way back down.
Oh, yeah, that was on our way back.
Yeah. So,
we make it to the top of Nevada Falls, and that was the payoff view that I was waiting for. Like, this whole Yosemite experience, I was like, this was, like, the view from above Nevada Falls was just so vast and spectacular.
Right.
You could see literally everything.
Right. It was a really, really impressive view. I think it kind of blew everything out of the water from the day before.
Absolutely.
Plus the hike was not as, it was still a difficult level. It was strenuous, but it not.
Comparatively.
Right.
It was a walk in the park.
Right.
Literally compared to Yosemite Falls.
And I mean, you have to remember that these waterfalls are not, they're not necessarily near one another. They're kind of like opposite one another in the park. So they're, you know, it's a different landscape. So we're seeing like different areas of the park or a different viewpoint or vantage of the park, which was nice. It was really cool up top. It was a lot of like flat rock. There was a bridge that you crossed over the river that was, or the stream that was taking the water to the falls. And then we just sat up there for a pretty good while, just kind of taking it all in. And there were at that point, maybe like 8 to 10 other people that we saw up at the top. So they must have started a little bit before us.
They must have. Because there weren't a ton of people there. And
Really, no one passed us at that point.
Mm-mm. I just remember I was like, I could sit up here all day. Like, it felt like a really beautiful place, like, to picnic and eat. And we definitely did sit and eat.
Yeah.
We stayed up there a while, like, at least a half hour.
Yeah, it was less of a sit time than up at the top of Vernal.
Because
at the top of Yosemite.
Delayed our going down because we were like, do we want to maybe try doing one of these, like, up top hikes, which the park rangers had fully said no to.
But right.
We were looking at them and we were like, well, maybe, do we just want to go look? And then we ultimately decided, no, we're listening to the park rangers.
Right.
Obviously, if a park ranger says no, the answer is no.
Right. Yeah. So we headed down, and it wasn't, I would have to say that going down from the top of Nevada Falls was not as bad as what we would encounter later when we were going down from the top of Vernal Falls.
Oh, certainly.
I mean, it was a little craggier.
Craggy.
It wasn't as craggy as our descent from Yosemite.
No.
And
we were playing some games at
right,
the time.
Right. Yeah, we had
playing, you know.
Right. And there is, like, as much as there is a strenuous nature to heading down, it's mentally a little easier because you know you've kind of summited and now you're traveling back down.
Exactly.
And gravity is in your favor for the most part, and hopefully not to your detriment ever. So, yeah, I mean, so we traveled back down. At this point, we had run into a few school group. It looked like a school group.
There was a school group. There was also a family with a bunch of children.
Right.
That could easily seem like a school group.
Right. So, you know, there weren't a lot of people that were headed up from Vernal to Nevada.
Because we concluded later that it seems that most people just hike up to the top of Vernal and then go back down. And when we reached that, when we got back down to the top of Vernal Falls, it was covered. It was like a beach where people were laying out and eating and tanning and full of people, when before it had only been that one other cute guy from Las Vegas.
Right. It was really interesting to see the changeover. I mean, it is not something that is a surprise, though, because when we did, for example, Angel's Landing, when we hiked that, when we were in Zion, which we'll definitely talk about at some point, we hiked really early, probably about the same time we left, and we were pretty good going out.
Oh, yeah.
It was
that
coming,
is a whole episode.
It was coming back.
Coming back.
If it's not a wide enough trail, can be really, really treacherous.
That can be treacherous. So we see, you know, the beach that is the top of Vernal Falls now, and then we start heading back down, and we had to go. There was a line, literally a line of people waiting to get into that, like, tiny little passage to get even back to the steps. Finally make our way through. Now, again, 600 stone steps covered in mist.
With people going in two directions.
Yeah, and with that, I think, let's take a break.
Okay.
Hey, everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year, and so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about, we're marking them up, and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them, and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners.
Hey, Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Miss Calorie Deficit.
Miss Calorie Deficit.
It's time for Drag Queen Corner.
That's right. I like that. Okay, that's good. Cool. Yeah.
All right. That's what we're calling this segment now.
In our second episode, we're finding our footing here.
We're finding
what the segment's called.
Exactly.
Right.
So, who is Calorie Deficit? There is a famous queen named Calorie
right.
Kardashian Williams. She appeared on last season of Drag Race. She spells her name with a K. I think Calorie Deficit probably spells her name with a C.
No, I think so too. Well, I think Calorie Deficit is someone that is incredibly svelte.
Incredibly
svelte.
I feel like she's like a math. Like, always constantly working through math problems as far as, like, macros and fat grams.
Right,
and
right,
protein
right,
grams.
Right.
And, like, she knows literally, like, how many calories she will burn wearing high heels
right.
versus, like, kitten heels.
And smiling versus frowning.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And she's just, like, constantly working that.
She is constantly working that.
I feel like she, Calorie Deficit, is, like, a muscle queen that, who's got, like, really giant pecs and also really giant biceps.
Okay.
But like her hair is just like
enormous
for the gods.
Right.
Like up and out and everywhere.
Yeah. I feel like she is also doing every sort of activity you can like cram into a day.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And she lives on the Isle of Zumba or something like that.
The Isle of Zumba. It's like the Isle of Naboo from Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Oh my God.
But
speak to my
draggier.
Little gay heart.
I know.
Oh, Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Stop. That's what I want to see Amy Adams do.
Oh.
Boom. Look at that.
You want her to be.
I want her to. She's
Angela
a little young
character?
Right now, but I'm saying like. But Angela Lansbury was young when she did Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Probably.
Amy Adams could totally do that.
So we started our descent down the stone steps. And it, you know, when you're first there, it's a lot of, it's a very narrow path. So that was something that I noticed was really tricky for anybody to navigate, whether they were coming or going.
Literally, it was like there were now hundreds of people on this pathway. Because you could see everything from the top all the way down.
Yeah.
And I was terrified at this point because I was like, okay, we don't have hiking poles. Not that there would be room for them on these stairs. And the people who did have them were collapsing them and just moving really carefully. And there were times on the stairs where they had handlebars for you to hold on to. And, you know, for
The whole first part, because you're really pressed against that cliff face.
But going down stairs that are made of stone, that are entirely wet.
That are pitched backwards, too.
That are pitched backwards is so dangerous.
Right.
Now, I don't think this should keep anybody from doing this hike.
No.
Certainly not. You just have to go very slow. On
right,
your way
and
down.
Be and very aware.
We did go very slow.
We did.
It was a lot of, like, take a step. Wait for someone else to take a step.
Right.
Take a step down and wait for someone else. Because had we not gone out that early, I would have looked at all those people headed up going like, oh, God.
Right.
Do we want to just turn around? We've never, like, done a hike and then turned around. We've always made it to the top or the end place.
That's not true. Congaree.
Oh, well, that's a different story for another podcast.
Right.
And those were for other reasons.
Right. After you kind of got past the initial stairs on the cliff face and then you headed down some more stairs, you went back through that stone archway that we talked about.
And then, and it was like full of water.
It was like a pool of water at that point.
Walk through with your boots.
Right. And then basically it wasn't that many more steps towards basically, well, quote, air quoted, level ground, or where you were kind of back in the forest canopy at that point.
Yes.
And really, at that point, there were more and more people coming. So it was already a very crowded stairway. And then the trail up to the stairs was just packed at that point. Because at this point, it was probably mid-afternoon, maybe early afternoon. Yeah, 12-1 maybe, something like that. It's a much quicker hike than Yosemite Falls. We did that in 6 hours. This was probably like four and a half hours, like that.
Something around there.
So, you know, we traveled back through the woods.
And then we made our way back down to the ground. And then we started, we decided we wanted to head over to Mirror Lake.
Right. So instead of, so again, Yosemite's all on a tram, but we had kind of mentioned this before, but the tram stop was only one stop away. So we decided that we would just hoof it over to Mirror Lake because our legs weren't as tired. We were feeling pretty good. It was still early, so we could kind of really explore that on foot a little bit more.
Okay, so we were making our way toward Mirror Lake, which was very close to the entrance to Vernal Falls.
Right.
So we sort of headed off to the right and walked along the trail, and then we ended up, we were walking with this couple, and we were talking with them. What do we remember about them?
Not much. We did talk about our other national park trips.
They were so sweet.
But they were very, very kind. It's always nice to, you know, one of the best things about hiking is that you are able to connect with people just very readily. It's like traveling, any sort of travel, I feel like, gives you that opportunity, which is really, really wonderful.
Totally.
So we did talk a little bit about, you know, what we did as, like, professionally, and then also our own travels that we had kind of taken.
They were really lovely people.
And the closer we kind of got to the lake, they fell a little bit behind us, so we kind of just, like, hoofed it ourselves to Mirror Lake.
Because when you're hiking and you happen upon somebody, it's... There is a weird sort of moment where you're like, are we hiking together for the next hour, are we going to, like, are we seeking community in that way, or are we just sort of, like, going to go our separate ways at some point? It's a small lake, and also it's a very flat hike, so
right.
If you're going to Yosemite to just look, and you don't care to really, like, you know, go uphill to the top of canyon level,
it's very accessible.
You can just go around Mirror Lake, and Mirror Lake is a lovely stroll.
Yes.
And there are two kinds of trails around it. There's, like, a paved one on one side. Well, it's a road.
Right.
And then there's the other side, which is, you know, a nature trail.
And the trail does, like, hook around both sides. So it does go each side of the lake. So that's what we ended up doing. We headed up the right side. And then we kind of continued past the lake, which is something I didn't do the first time. But if you go past the lake, because it's really, really neat. Not only are you at a glacial lake, but you're surrounded by Half Dome and North Dome.
Yes.
So you're kind of in this bowl, and there are giant cliffs on either side of you.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And it's a different landscape than you've seen in other parts.
Right.
See in other parts of Yosemite.
Right. It's like almost like I always think of it, or I thought about it like this. Yeah, it almost felt like the backstage, like studio tour of something, because it's like you're behind like this giant cliff, and it's a lot of boulders. There's knocked over trees, so that was really like kind of interesting. It looked like the behind the scenes sort of tour of the
of
Yosemite,
right? That you were taking so
right because I'm a dendrophile.
You are.
I do. I love dead trees.
Dead trees.
It's true. So we did a walk, and we kind of hiked through along the river there that feeds into the lake.
And then we connected to a couple of trails that brought us back to, like, the main drag.
Yeah, the main drag of Yosemite.
The main drag of Yosemite.
But basically, we went up and we crossed a bridge over the river and then hooked back around and went back down by the lake. And then Dusty's right, we did see the main drag of Yosemite, the main street, as it were. But we hooked into some trails that took us really far around.
We were feeling at that point
tired.
Well, almost. We had gotten to the end of Mirror Lake. We were like, we could probably do another trail when we get back to the main area. We can find another one that's shorter because we're gonna just walk back to the main area,
right?
And then there it was, Mike's wall.
Right,
like,
my wall.
Well, you hit that wall, and you were like, nope, I'm done. Today is done. Yeah. I need to just go eat salad at a buffet.
Right.
Right. And so that is what we plan to do.
And so that's what we kind of plan to do. And at that point, it was, you know, getting out of the park then was a little hairy once we got back to
it
the car.
Was because around four.
A lot of people were leaving
a
at this point.
A lot of people
were
leaving.
Yeah, it was a pretty big exodus. And it's pretty crazy, you know. I don't know that we'll necessarily talk again on the podcast about our Yosemite trip this time. But sitting in the airport about a week later in... where were
LAX,
we? In LA.
LAX. Yeah.
In the really early morning.
We were.
Watching the news, Yosemite had experienced crazy flooding.
Yes.
Like, because of intense rains that had gone through. So it's pretty wild. We had just missed it by a week. And we had passed through at some point. Actually, we had passed through at some point through Yosemite. It wasn't the village, was it?
I think so.
Where we ended up getting our sunblock.
It was Yosemite Village or like Half Dome Village or something like that.
Right, I think it was Half Dome Village.
Because the sunblock
was $16. Dusty lost.
You lost.
Dusty.
In the,
Dusty. Lost
you
it.
You lost in
Dusty
the river.
Lost it. It was crazy how he lost it.
It was.
Right. $16.
Yeah, it was a $16 bottle of sunscreen.
And
it was
my jaw
small
dropped to the
bottle.
Floor. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Because they can just like rake you over the coals there because you need it.
You need it. It's the and he said the cashier was like, it's the only thing we hike up.
Right.
Because it's so common. People
right.
Need it.
So yeah, that was our journey through Yosemite.
So we immediately drove out of Yosemite and drove straight to this other restaurant we wanted to try, which was around the corner from Chili's.
Called Sweet Cherries.
No. It was called Sweet Tomatoes.
Sweet Tomatoes.
And it was
I just always go with Sweet Cherries,
with sweet
and
cherries.
I shouldn't. It's, you
it's,
know.
It could be
it's
Sweet
my
Cherry
dirty
Tomatoes,
mind. Yeah.
But it's Sweet Tomatoes.
Sweet Tomatoes.
And the it's just a giant salad bar.
Right.
And a hot bar.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure we both got, like, two enormous plates of
right.
salad
right.
each.
Yeah, we're definitely not... in it for the food as far as like the food experience.
No, I
we're just
really,
like basically we, feed our bodies because calorie deficit has come for us and she has taken everything that we hold dear. So it's really just about fueling up. So
and she well calorie deficit yes right. definitely and also like I mean I'm sure Fresno has wonderful delicious food all over the place, but it's I wouldn't consider myself a foodie.
I'm not
interested in like food exploration in that way, at least on these hikes.
Yeah, no, I think it's more about efficiency as opposed to luxury.
Yes.
Yeah, let's say that.
So what did Yosemite teach you?
What did Yosemite teach me? I think it really is just about how incredibly vast and varied our natural landscape is, that you really don't have to go, you know, out of the United States. Not that I'm advocating for staying inside the United States by any means. Please travel the world. It is a beautiful, big, wild world.
Of course.
But I think it really did teach me that there is so much inside our country that is incredible that I think people don't access as much as they really should.
Yosemite taught me...
What about you?
That, you know, like, I'm going to get a little cerebral and new-agey here for a second, but they're all, you know, the fitness industry is such a thing, and, like, there are so many ways, there are so many pathways to fitness and pushing yourself and trying to be strong, and I know I'm on that journey, you're on that journey, and constantly trying to figure out ways like to make our bodies the best that they can be. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I have never had a physical challenge like that Yosemite Falls hike, and I just love how like nature gave me that, like,
right?
Or gave us that, like
right?
You know,
not
like,
a gym.
It wasn't a gym. It wasn't a regimen.
Mm-hmm.
It was this one like journey experience that you could do in about 6 hours.
Right.
And had I known what was involved, I probably might have said, no, I'm good. I think I'll do another hike. But
right.
Especially like having to do it that day and not be mentally prepared to do it that day. It was just like, we're throwing ourselves in this and we're doing this. And
right.
So I think that was the, that was the thing it gave me. Like, it was like, you are capable of more than you think.
Right.
And the world has already given it to you.
Yeah, that is very cerebral, but very true.
All right, Mike. I want to start with my category today.
That's fine. Welcome to our end of our podcast, which is a Jeopardy-style game that we play with one another.
Yes.
If you're joining us for the first time, this is something that we do together usually. We'll develop Jeopardy-style games for parties, for friends.
We write them.
We write them.
It's fun. It's fun. Exciting.
It's good trivia.
It's
so
good trivia because we live for trivia.
We do live for trivia.
So, okay, I'm going to start.
Okay, great.
This is called National Parks in the Movies.
Okay, wonderful.
Which is great. You also might have already mentioned something
great
on this episode that
wonderful
may or may not be a question.
Excellent.
Here we go.
All right.
Okay, so the first question. So in this category, you have to name the film and the park.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Great.
Boom. Here we go. Double this win. 1975 British slapstick comedy about King Arthur featured some of the landscape of America's second oldest national park.
So is it Monty Python? What is Monty Python and the Holy Grail and Yosemite National
yes,
Park?
Yes, that is correct.
Wow, I did not know that.
Uh-huh.
That's fascinating.
Can you believe that? They filmed some of those scenes there.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Okay, moving on to the second one. Here we go. This iconic female-driven dramedy about two friends on the run that features a young shirtless Brad Pitt, mm-hmm, most important, mm-hmm, also featured many backgrounds of this extremely vast Utah National Park.
So, what is Thelma and Louise and Canyonlands?
Yes, well done. Now, the iconic scene, like, of them going over the cliff, that's a state park in Utah.
Okay.
I don't know which one right now,
okay,
but it is a state park.
Okay.
It was not Canyonlands. Here we go. Well, the next clue.
Great.
While the famed hotel is closer to Rocky Mountain National Park, this 1980 Stephen King horror classic features shots in its opening sequence of this chilly Montana National Park.
What is The Shining and Glacial National Park?
That is correct.
There
well
we go.
Well done. Okay, next clue. This third installment of this Harrison Ford-led franchise of adventure films featured a scene where the audience discovers the origins of the central character's fedora and his fear of snakes, while also featuring the most aptly named National Park of Utah.
I just watched this movie recently,
really?
I love it. It's my favorite of the series.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So it's Indiana Jones and what is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, and what is Arches National
yes,
Park?
Yes, well done.
Which, when I watched it, I was like, I was there, look
I
at that.
There.
And I never realized
Arches
that until seeing the movie again.
Tador. Final question.
Okay.
When the cast and crew were brought to this dry, barren National Park of California, they filmed the scenes that took place on the planet of Tatooine for the original third installment of this world-famous sci-fi film series.
What is Return of the Jedi and what is Death Valley National Park?
Correct.
Look at that. Bing,
well
bang,
done.
Boom.
Bing, bang, boom.
All right, now on to mine. So my category is called Go West, Young Man.
Oh.
And in this category, West will be a part of whatever answer. Now,
okay,
to
great
give you a little further assistance, these are all things that are consumable in the media for the most part.
Oh, okay.
All
great
right. So,
okay, cool.
This complicated rapper/musician has a complicated marriage with a complicated woman and has a complicated and disheartening views on our complicated and terrible commander-in-chief.
And he also thinks that he's the Lord Jesus Christ, and this because this is who is Kanye West.
That is correct. Right?
All right.
This modern musical take on a feud between the Capulets and the Montagues will have everyone dancing in their seats and trying to stay cool boy, real cool.
I am so glad you reference musical theater right now, because that is what is West Side Story.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Based on a Michael Crichton novel, its first iteration was a movie starring Yul Brynner as a malfunctioning, murderous machine man. See what I did there with that alliteration?
I did.
It's now a much glossier version on HBO.
Oh my goodness. I don't know that I know this. There's a Western starring Yul Brynner, right? Is it a Western? I don't know. Look at that. I don't know. What is that?
What is Westworld?
It really? Westworld?
Yeah. Was originally a movie with Yul Brynner.
Things I didn't know.
Well, now you do.
Well, you're on the Westworld train.
I am.
I haven't gotten on yet.
Just season one is all I'll say. Mm-hmm. All right. Next clue. This sequel follows a small Jewish mouse from his home in New York City to a place where the buffalo roam in this cartoon movie that also gave us the heartbreaking melody, Somewhere Out There.
That is what is the adorable, endearing Five Will Goes West.
That's correct. God, the full answer is An American Tale.
An American Tale, Five Will Goes West.
That's correct.
Yes.
Right. All the tears. And our final clue. This gritty novel tells the experience of a World War I German soldier on the front lines and the extreme physical, emotional, and psychological stresses felt there and upon returning home.
Oh.
It's also a phrase that's commonly used.
I don't know.
All Quiet on the Western Front.
Oh, right. Also the only book Trump has ever read.
Is that true?
Oh, he said that in like seven interviews. Did you see the Sam B thing about how...
He can't read.
He can't read, right?
Yes, yeah. I forgot
because
that was
they found
there.
Like seven clips of him whenever they asked, what book did you...
What are you reading right now?
He says All Quiet on the Western Front.
Forever and always.
This has been
Days at the National Park.
And we are here to remind you to
hike early and hike often. Follow us on Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks.
You can also follow us on Twitter at Gaze at the Parks. GAZE. And tune into our next episode where we talk about Bryce Canyon and the alien world that it is.
I said this mic smells like pizza, and I really hate it because of that.
I think it's the windscreen that smells like pizza.
Okay, it's the windscreen.
Because
people eat pizza and then talk very close to it, and it's just imbued with its smells now.
There we go.
It's like the Sword of Godric Gryffindor.
Exactly.
Right. It can only take in what makes it stronger.
And that is pizza.
That's me pushing my nerd glasses up right now.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
You push them up real high.
Mm-hmm.